That's a theme.
It's a theme, isn't it?
Tis the new season, year. Words. I don't know words.
We just read them.
I read them. I don't know them.
what are these things of which we speak?
I know. Well, hello, Kara.
Wait, hello, Brad.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
How's the end of your year?
It is going.
Are you one of those, oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's over? Or are you those, oh, it's over?
Different stages in my life, different things, I think. I don't know. The older I get, the less I'm like, oh, you know, like, new year. I'm just like, oh, look, another year.
I know. I feel like, you know, most people put that out as the options. Like, mine is option C, where it's like, I mean, it's done. Like, okay, it's how time works. you're going to come to
it. It happens every year. Yeah.
Also, like, not everybody has the same New Year. So somebody's end of the year could have been months ago.
It's true.
Yeah.
And when you work retail, especially if you work it over the holidays, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad this year is over. Yes. Christmas is over.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, but then there's that time of, nobody's back in school and back to work yet, so you still have that busy thing up like the first couple weeks of January, you know, where people have all their gift cards, they're still returning things.
Oh, the returners.
So it's still a little busy. So it's not like, for me, like, my unofficial New Year is kind of like mid-January when everybody's just done. Like we're done shopping, we're done returning.
We are broke,
like,
now.
We're just gonna sit here and wait until Valentine's Day.
I know.
So that's
my catch your breath.
Yeah, and I literally just breathe, because that's probably the first time I've been able to do it since September.
That's a long haul. Once you start hitting the holidays, in any retail, but especially in the book world, because, you know, in the book world, once you get past summer, that's when everything picks up. That's right. When all the books start coming out.
Yeah.
The big titles.
Right. Big book titles are end of year. Like, summer book titles are, you know, they'll probably start coming out like March.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your beach reads, for lack of better terms. I know that that's always like a
seasonal,
like,
thing.
Like you go into any bookstore at the spring, you know, spring-ish season, and they will have a beach reads table, and it's just all these lighthearted, kind of, again, probably a lot of cookie cutter style
rom-coms
books,
and rom-coms, and women's fiction, and apparently men don't read beach reads. They never seem to make it onto the table.
Fair. I mean, what would be like a manly beach read?
I don't know. I mean, can't you read about dinosaurs or robots or killer aliens on the beach? I think it's a bit discriminatory to only read about romance on the beach. I mean, what if I want to read about a talking lemur who takes over the world?
I mean, you can. Nobody's saying you can't.
But it won't be on that table.
What's
up fair. With that?
Fair,
I think we
fair.
Should start a new tradition.
Yeah, we should. We should break them
all.
Break them cookie cutters.
A more diverse beach reads table.
Yeah. And not just, you know, Paradise Falls, where little Jenny over here, you know, meets Jacob and they fall in love while, you know, dancing at the beach. I don't know. That's probably a book.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie, but yeah, sure.
Really, I mean, sure. Where's the difference, though?
That's true. I will say that there are some beach reads that I have enjoyed. Like, I do like Emily Henry and her book was literally titled Beach Read,
Beach Read.
And it is awesome. And
that's the only one I know how to sell people. They're like, I'm really looking for a Beach Read. And I'm like, this one's called Beach Read. You can read this one. I don't know how to sell anything else, like, romance wise.
You can just sell Emily Henry.
That doesn't include dragons. Like, you know, little sci-fi nerd over here is trying to, you know, sell, you know, generic everyday boy falls in love with girl, girl falls in love with boy stories, like,
without dragons.
I know, I'm like, well, there's no dragons in it, there's no robots, there's no, you know, it's not in space, it's like in the real world. Boring. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, all these people live in the real world, what's wrong with you?
Ugh. Anyway, I mean, and then again, some people think that, you know, summer is the beginning of their year, you know.
It's true with a lot of teachers, so, like, they hold out till summer, and it's like a new year, new you,
yeah, kind of like thing. They either take the end of the school year as the end of their year, or, you know, they're like, oh, you know, the end of summer is the end of their year. So again, like, the whole, like, new year kind of thing is, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's not,
nor is it anywhere. Yeah. Dr. Seuss.
Good job. Throw in a classic there.
Yeah,
I think it's important. I think we get so hung up on, when we talk about the new year, new you, like, you've got the whole party, let's kiss at midnight, and then you have the whole movement of Snooze. Like, oh, I have to lose all this. Yes.
I'm going to sleep at 9 o'clock every night. I am such a crotchety old man.
You don't wait till midnight? You're like, nah, I've done this. I mean, no,
if anything, I'll pop up and be like, ah, okay, bye. Like, not bye, but good night.
Just going out with a bang there.
Oh, you have no idea. Yeah,
which is fair. I mean, I don't even know why we do a lot of these traditions. We just do them. I mean,
listen to a history podcast. You'll get the history behind it. You won't get that here. I'm sorry.
Though we do have a fun fact.
What's a fun fact?
Our fun fact is all about first pudding. Do you know what first pudding is?
No.
First pudding is a Scottish tradition.
Oh.
And what happens...
Wait, are we a history podcast now?
Sorry. We are.
Again,
thoughts for your thoughts. This is fun because we were talking about Robert Burns.
Right.
As we were planning for this, and the song that everybody sings.
Yeah, Auld Lang Syne. If I even said that right. I don't know the words. I just go...
I think most people do, because the words are so convoluted.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like... Blah, blah, blah,
you're, also, most people are like super drunk anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. You don't really know what they're saying.
It's like, okay, wow. I mean...
They've just made up a new version of Elvis there. Yeah.
Drunken Elvish.
Also known as
Auld Lang Syne.
No.
Oh, okay. No. Oh.
Well, Auld Lang Syne.
That sounds like some hot tea right there.
No. Gaelic is amazing. I love listening to Gaelic. And obviously Tolkien did draw inspiration from, you know, Celtic and Gaelic and Welsh and stuff. So
I love them.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. So
first footing.
First footing. First footing is a tradition that I read about in a book. It's from the shocking, breaking news. It's the Anatomous Wife series, which is actually historical mystery.
I know that book. But I haven't read it, so.
And it's a lot of them are set in Scotland in the Victorian era. And she always throws in these fun bits and pieces of, like, Scottish tradition or certain things that they did. And in one of the books, it's a murder's about to happen and involves the grave diggers and all of that cool stuff that was going on in the Victorian era. But to start the new year, they will have a strapping fellow step over the doorway to the house.
So not me.
Well, they have all these rules about this. It has to be a certain type of guy because he's bringing the luck into the house. Okay. And so how he does it is kind of like a... bodes for the rest of the year.
Okay.
So, and it goes back to, he should be dark-haired. They don't want a blonde to do it because of the whole Viking incidents that they had where blonde Vikings would come and raid. And so they're like, nope, that's bad luck. So the darker-haired dude is, the better.
Okay. I mean, mine's graying, so I don't think that really counts.
I think you could count. I think you'd bring some good luck over the threshold. Oh.
I bring crotchety old age. That's what I bring.
Happy New Year. Another year. Oh, great. No.
Okay, so dark hair. Is that it? Just
that's it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then, in the book, it's somebody is bringing a message of a murder, and they step in before this tradition is completed. And there's a whole like thing about
blonde?
That. I mean, they're bringing a message that somebody's been murdered on a gravesite. So I think it's down like, this luck to begin to, with.
Like if they're blonde, then you know it's
they might be blonde.
It's about to go down.
I mean, you know those blondes, you got to watch out for them. Those little Viking warriors.
They may
warriors.
Have more fun, but apparently they also bring murder.
They're bad luck. They come and steal your wives and your cows and stuff. So be wary. Anyway, well, New Year traditions.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Hashtag trademark, I guess.
Hashtag history.
That's not something that we own the rights to. Just like almost everything else that we have, you know, name dropped mm-hmm. on here. But that's fine. I don't have any fun nuggets of New Year.
Tradition.
No nuggets of wisdom.
I feel like people just do the... Well, we all do, really. Because we always end up part of that whole, like... New year, new you. How are you going to? What are your resolutions?
Right. Like I feel like, if anything, I don't give myself a resolution. I give myself like, well, maybe this year I could try to do this. So like, it'll probably be like, okay, well, maybe I'll try to finish this series of books. Because my bookshelf is just packed full with books that are all part of a series. And I haven't started any of them. So I know I'm a slow reader, and B, I, you know, just I try to sit down and read as often as I can, but it doesn't always happen because, you know, you get home from work, you're tired, take a shower, eat dinner, and then by that time it's bedtime because I'm old and I go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just kidding. I don't. But it feels like that sometimes. I'm ready to go to bed at 4 o'clock in the evening. But yeah, if I wasn't such a slow reader, I would probably knock out a few more books throughout the year, but I try.
I know you do. And you have a pattern that you start a series, you have to finish it.
I do.
And that kind of, if you have like a 10 book series, that's a commitment right over there.
So that's why if anybody recommends a book to me and if it's part of a series, I'm like, give me 5 years. Recommend it to me then, and I'll probably have some of these other ones done by then. But I'm also, I also can't read them back to back. I have to separate them.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if I read book one of insert series here, I will have to then read something else after that and then come back and do book two.
That makes sense.
So on and so forth. That's why I'm probably going to finish the Discworld series by Terry Pratchett by the time I die.
Well, I mean, what a good life you'll have.
I think I've gotten through the first 13 out of 41.
I mean, there's a lot. I haven't read them all either.
It's a chunk, but...
But I think Terry Pratchett, you can always return to him after.
Right. Like, and they're not all linear. They're not all previously on.
Right. You can just pick up any and kind of just fall into that fun, quirky world. So,
and they're all so fun. That's probably why, like, I write out kind of what my next... like 10 books that I want to read, and it always starts with a Discworld book, and then I do, you know, 9 other books, and then when I start my next 10, it's with a Discworld book, and then 10, you know, 9 more other books. So that's kind of how I try to get through that series, but also keep track of reading everything else that I have, because I also try to mix in books that I've owned for just years and just haven't touched them since I bought them, and also mix in books that like I've just gotten, or like, in if you've ever worked at a bookstore, you have probably gotten in advanced copies of books.
So many.
So I have I have a dedicated spot just for advanced books. So I try to mix some of those in so that I have something new and fresh when I go to work. I'm like, oh, I did read this one. I actually read it a month before it came out because I'm so popular. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, like I try to do a mix of knocking out some of my series books, knocking out some of the books that I have owned for 10 plus years and haven't read yet, and new books.
That sounds like a New Year's kind of plan there.
But I don't hold true to any of it because...
good resolution.
Yeah, then there's like, I have to read this. Or book club or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Dreaded book club.
You started the book club.
No, I love book club. Book club is awesome. But it does. If you have a set plan as to like what you're reading in a month, that book club book kind of does. Either be your best friend or kind of can throw you off course for a second there. So, but you know, starting a new year, and we kind of titled this series New Year, New Book.
Right.
Because a lot of the new, you know, for us, does revolve around books. Like, what's it going to look like? What's the number going to be on the Goodreads? You know?
Yeah.
How many books are you going to read this year?
Yeah.
So.
And what are the ones that are the most hyped? Like,
that's true.
Or not even necessarily what's the most hyped, but like, what are you looking forward to? Because not everybody's hype books are what I'm looking forward to. Because again, I have very specific tastes. Like, if somebody tells me that like there's a new like Veronica Roth book, like, nothing against her, I've never read her, but I have enjoyed the adaptations, and I know people hated those movies, but the whole Allegiant Resurgent and
Divergent.
Oh my gosh. It's
you know, that was that era where we had like, a lot of angry girls running around saving the world. So,
yeah,
you know.
Hunger Games, like all that kind of stuff. Like, if one of those came out, like, I'd be like, that's cool. I know it's a big hype because they're big authors like Susan Collins, Veronica Roth,
Stephanie Meyer.
What's the other girl who has... lady who has she just did Crescent Moon.
Sarah J. Maas.
I haven't read any of these because the target demographic is like female teenager. That is very much not what I am. A lot of these I just missed because they came out as I was like a full grown adult man. So, I mean, I've read, obviously, Hunger Games, but I haven't read the Divergent series. I haven't read the Assassin.
Yeah,
I haven't read those, but there's like 18 of them out now. So it's kind of hard. Well, even with Leigh Bardugo, like, I haven't read her young adult novels, but I read The Ninth House,
which I
enjoyed. So there's like, you know, certain things kind of sprinkled in like that people get excited about. Like, people were very excited about Veronica Roth's adult novel. Again, since I didn't know anything about her novels because I'd never read them, I just assumed it was going to be another Divergent book.
It was not a superhero book.
It sounded interesting. I just never got around to reading it.
Well, and I will say this. A lot of times publishers throw a lot of money over what we call the highly anticipated. And then bloggers and bookstagrammers and YouTubers and all these people get on. They're like, this is the most anticipated book. And a lot of money is thrown behind advertising those books with those big names.
Right.
Which is fair. I mean, it's like a movie. Like, obviously, you're going to know that the new Marvel movie is coming out before you know about that tiny little indie movie about those two people running around the park. I don't know if that movie exists, but you know what I mean.
You know what? There is one.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called, but I know that there is one.
They do more than run around the park, but you know.
It's a student film. Nothing against student films. Having said that, I have seen many student films that were
people interesting, the park.
Fun, you know.
Having said that, you know, I think both is good, but when you're looking ahead to a new year, I think the best advice I had in terms of like putting together a most anticipated reading list is try to read something from different genres too. You know,
true.
Like push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit.
I've been purchasing more outside of my genre. Like, and it's not too far because I've been buying more science books. So, like real science, not science fiction. Like,
but actual science fiction is actually based on a lot
on a lot of
science,
that science. So,
right.
Yeah, and yeah. So, I've been trying. So, I did buy a few history books too, but of course, it's history that's appealing to me, which is like ancient Roman, ancient Greece, like all that ancient
stuff. Yeah, I'm the same
kind
way.
Of stuff. So,
yeah.
Like SPQR by Mary Beard. That like a book like that that's out of, I wouldn't normally read a history book, but that's the one that I'm like, I want to read that.
So is that on your to be read
it is
for next year?
It actually is.
There we go.
Because I it's been out for this long forever and I still haven't read it, but it's been sitting on my bookshelf and I will read it in 2022. I had to think about what year was coming up next. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. Well, it's. I feel like we were in a time warp with COVID, so I think we're all playing catch up. It's like, oh, it's actually 2 years that have gone by instead of just one.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, but yeah, any other genres or like books you're super excited to read? What's the book on top of your to be read pile for next year? The first book you're gonna try and read in 2022.
Well, I was going to say the next book on my to-be-read pile is Lord and Ladies by Terry Pratchett, because that's the next in my list. But I, who knows? I might be able to knock that one out before 2022.
That's exciting.
I don't know. We'll see. Again, I'm a slow reader, and I still have to finish book club book and then finish the book that I'm currently reading.
And reread Fellowship of the Ring.
And that. So also, shout out if you... have we mentioned that before? Reading? I know we didn't mention it in our Tolkien episode, but in case you catch this before the end of the year, or if you catch it at the end, it doesn't matter.
Or
you
even
can
next
read,
year. You know.
You can read Fellowship of the Ring for the 20th anniversary of the movie, you know, because the movie came out in 2001 in December. So in December, we're rereading, I should say, The Fellowship of the Ring. Join us, you know, add us at do you add people at Instagram?
You add people, you follow people.
Follow people.
You can comment.
Again, this is my old people coming out. I'm like, what is Facebook?
Do you add people?
Do you add people? So
you can start your own movement there.
Like,
I add you.
We'll post about it, and you know, if this happens to come out later, it's fine. But you know, if you have already reread it, good for you. Thumbs up.
Yay, you. You're awesome.
Thank you for joining us. in reading, in rereading.
So good of you to come.
Yes. But yeah, I think if I, with a book that I own, the book that I want to read first would probably be, I finally want to read, Red Wolf, Black Leopard? Black Leopard. Red Leopard, Black Wolf by Marlon James. I'm absolutely blanking.
Oh, I know what you're.
I should have
about.
Done my homework and I didn't do it because I'm a terrible co-host.
That's an interesting choice for the new year. That's quite an intense, because I started reading that book and it's incredibly well written. It's pretty intense though.
I have heard that. But I have been very intrigued by it, and I have had it sitting on my bookshelf for probably since it came out, you know, in paperback at least. So I just need to read it. And I found out that the sequel is coming out, and it's called Moon Witch Spider King.
Which is a cool title.
So yeah, it's Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James. So that's going to be probably the first one I want to read.
I'm curious to know what you think of it.
I will tell you.
Yay.
And I will tell you.
It's a, I mean, like I said, I read it and then I think, did I read all of it? I think I got halfway through and one of those things where I put it aside, partly because it was intense in a good way. Mm-hmm. And then I had to pick up an arc or something to read that. But it's very well written. And like, if you are okay with a lot of violence,
yes.
Then it's a book you would you'll be good.
Says the person who watches slasher movies to go to sleep.
Yes, if you're that type of person, you will love this book. If you are somebody who is not so keen on
violence and gore,
tons and tons of violence and gore from page one, then this might not be the book for you.
I also read The Monstromologist, which I know it's in the young adult section, but it's very gory. So it's usually like my go-to Halloween book. Like when people are coming in looking for spooky books, I'm like, please read The Monstromologist. It's just so good. But it is, it is gory. I know that it's in young adult and it's because the main character I think is only like 11 or 12. But it is gory, but I enjoy it. And I think that's another, coming back to the New Year thing, I have the fourth book in that series, and that's also on my
to be read
this year, so that I will complete a series.
Yay!
Because I've read the first three, and the fourth one I still need to read. So there is that. Tying that back in. So what's your first 2022 book of the year?
Book of the year. I think I'm actually going to read a book that I was so excited when it came out that I was in the middle of being a bookseller, and so I was reading tons of ARCs, and I didn't get an ARC for this book.
Advanced reader copies.
Yes,
we just throw copies. Terminology around, assuming
ARCs
you know
are
it.
Advanced reader copies. And I ordered it. It was one of those books that I ordered, and I got it signed and personalized by the author. But I just haven't managed to read it. And it is Into the Heartless Wood by Joanna Rothmeyer. And she is a YA writer who is very heavily inspired by Tolkien. Her debut novel was very heavily, you read it and you're
shouldn't
like, oh girl, this is fan fiction about Tolkien.
Like dangling
it's
me
awesome.
Along, like, you're like, I'm going to tell you about this book. And then you drop it and then you say Tolkien. I'm like, oh,
I'm there.
I get it.
I'm going to read it. Yeah. It's, it was very beautiful. Like, she's one of those writers where I think she could probably be put in fantasy, you know, and
is it a fantasy book or
it is?
Okay.
She does fantasy. The book that I was talking about that was heavily inspired by Tolkien is called Beneath the Haunting Sea. And, she wrote another book called Echo North, and the sequel to that is coming out next year, I believe.
Okay.
Or it's in the works, one or the other. And that's obviously very heavily inspired by Eastern European folk and mythology.
Nice. So, yeah, you said Echo North, and I'm like, oh, I know that one.
Yes, it's beautiful. Like, all of her writing is just beautiful. She's one of those writers that it's folktale-ish, it's fairy-tale-ish, it's kind of epic. But she's not one of the big names in YA. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, because I knew the title, but I didn't know.
Shouting out and saying, hey, read these books, because they're awesome, you know. So that's going to be probably one of my first reads, and it's a Into the Woods kind of like... Because I'm a sucker for anything that's into the woods, like those haunting, creepy woods that come alive and what's really going on there, and kind of like Naomi Novik's Uprooted. I mean, so.
Also in my to-be-read list.
Oh. You know, pretty much anything Naomi Novik writes, I'm there for it. It doesn't, I don't care what it is. I'm just there.
Because we did Spinning Silver.
Instant buy. We did. That was my pick for book club. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books.
I did enjoy that one. I'm not going to lie. I struggled because everything is in first person.
It is.
And I was just like,
there's
wait,
many point of
who's
views.
Talking?
I know. You do have to kind of like...
Yeah. Take notes, people.
You can almost hear Naomi Novik being like, come on, people, keep up.
Yeah. and I'm the one that got left behind.
Well, that was a lot.
But it is fun. I did enjoy it because it was very like, it gave me like straight up fairy tale vibe. I mean, not like children's fairy tale, but like just straight up fairy tale. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm a sucker for that too.
Yep.
And she just did such a beautiful job with it. And there are writers like that who can just take these folk tales and fairy tales and just turn them into something.
Magic.
Neil Gaiman's amazing at doing that too.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's coming to the U.S.? I saw he has dates for 2022.
So exciting.
I only saw 3 so far, but he's going to be here.
Neil Gaiman fans.
Ooh, so excited.
Do some research.
Yes.
He might be coming to a city near you.
Yes. I mean, this whole podcast is just a plug for Neil Gaiman coming to America.
I know. We're just like, read Neil Gaiman, read Terry Pratchett,
yes.
Tolkien.
And we're done. No, I'm just kidding.
We're done. Happy New Year, everyone. Yes.
But on those lines, of course, books come out every single week.
They do.
I did my homework, and I know you did yours too, because I was there when you did it.
I was a good student.
You were making sure I did my homework, which was the true story. you have a highly anticipated book for you coming out in 2022.
I do.
Dish.
Doo-doo.
And don't say doo-doo. Just kidding.
Dun-dun.
Not that kind of podcast.
We're starting the year with a bang right over here.
You're welcome.
So another one of my favorite YA writers is Adrienne Young, and she did Sky in the Deep.
I know this one,
which is one of my all-time favorite young adult books. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's Viking awesomeness. But the series that the duology she's really known for is Fable, mm-hmm. and Namesake, which really is like became a very big thing last year, and it is awesome and it's beautiful, and again you should all read it. She is, her adult book is coming out in 2022, and it's called Spells for Forgetting, and its release date as of now is August 2022, and I am super excited about it because she is just such a beautiful lyrical writer, and I can't wait to see what she does in
that.
This
could be a belated birthday gift for me. I was born in August.
That's true.
But I think my book
maybe
comes
out. Maybe it's a super late birthday gift for me.
I think my book comes out in your birth month.
We should do an exchange.
Yeah,
we'll
there
just
we go.
Like, you know, flip.
Yeah. We're going to trade vacations, and now we're trading
birthday gifts.
Birthdays. the book that I'm most excited about, and it's because I love her as a person. So if you have listened to her albums or watched her movies, you'll know that she's just great. It's sick how she's like so good at singing and acting. But I am very much talking about Janelle Monáe because
she is amazing.
I love her so much. So, of course, you know, most people know, like, if I feel like people either know her for her music or they know her from being in, like, Moonlight, Antebellum, and Hidden Figures. But her, you know, her albums, Archandroid, I'm blanking at the one that came after that, but they have, like, a Android vibe storyline kind of throughout. And then the album that she came out with more recently, which was like maybe a year or two ago, called Dirty Computer, has kind of another running theme line. And so she is writing a book of stories themed around the world of Dirty Computer. And I'm very excited because it's kind of like, it's going to be very kind of like cyberpunky. I think Afropunk was one of the actual terms used. So I'm very excited for the it's called The Memory Librarian, and it's scheduled to come out April 14th.
Which, what a great title too.
Yeah. So very excited about that one. That one's one where I will put that into immediate rotation. I won't buy it and put it on my shelf for, you know, 10 years and finally get around to it. No, that'll go into immediate rotation.
And you know,
rotation.
That says a lot.
I know.
When you buy it and then the next day you read it.
Yeah.
And I mean, putting it in context, when you live in when you're a bookseller and you're surrounded by books as well, you can't always read books as quickly as you would like to.
Right. And so, we've also discussed that I'm a slow reader. I've always been a slow reader, though. Like, you know, some people can pick up, you know, a 100-page book and finish it in an hour, and I have a 150-page book and I've already been working on it for a week.
Are you talking about the book club book?
Yes, I am.
Which we keep referencing this book. Maybe I should tell people what it is. It is The Past is Red by Catherine Valenti.
I think so. Or I, for some reason, I keep calling her Valentine.
Valentine.
I'm probably butchering that, and it's probably not.
So we Valentine. Apologize for that. But
it's good so far.
It's one of my favorite reads of this year. And it is a really great book. I don't really want to do spoilers because we're talking about it on Wednesday for book club. But it's quirky. It's funny. It will have you laughing. It will have you crying. It's just a really great book. And she's a spectacular author who's able to do all of that in literally 156 pages.
Yeah. It's Catherine Valenti. Or I don't know if the E is accented, but that's how I'm reading it. It's not Valentine.
Catherine Valenti.
It's 156 pages. And I'm 50-something pages in, and I'm already like, this main character, I feel so bad.
You do feel bad for the main character.
And like, it's only been 50 pages. Some people, you get 50 pages in and you still know nothing about the main character.
Yeah.
So
you stay with this character and like I said, you kind of laugh with her and kind of cry with her, and you know, and there's a bunch of twists and turns. I'm just blown away by the fact that she was able to do all of that in 156 pages, which is a novella, and those have become increasingly popular, talking about new stuff. Mm-hmm. But we've really seen
there has been an influx of novellas coming
these
out.
These little sci-fi fantasy novellas.
If the Murderbot by Martha Wells, I wonder if that may have I've noticed it especially in the sci-fi fantasy world, because I know once those started coming out, like there's I've just seen other people doing them. Like Zen Chao has the, oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher the title of this one.
Which we also did for book club. The Order of the Pure Moon Reflected in
Water.
Water.
Yes.
Hey, we got this.
So another novella. But yeah, like I've just kind of noticed an uptick in novellas, which is great for me because I'm slow and I can knock out a 150-page book in a week.
Yay!
Again, some people can do it in an hour, and I can't.
Well, and I honestly think that's one of the reasons why they are so popular right now, and they're becoming such a new thing, is especially when you're a sci-fi fantasy reader, a lot of what defines a genre are these huge epic, you know,
right.
books
Big
that are
sweeping
3,000 pages, Brandon Sanderson, whom I love, but like these, every book is 3,000 pages
long. Big
chunks
of a book.
Right. And so, like, when you're in between one of those books, it's nice to read Murderbot, which if you haven't read Murderbot, you should all read Murderbot. Just stop what you're doing and go and buy it. It's amazing. It's literally about a Murderbot who doesn't really want to be killing people. He wants to be sitting and streaming Netflix. So.
Same.
I mean, it's not Netflix necessarily, but he just wants to be hanging out and streaming stuff.
The untitled version of Netflix.
Exactly.
Betflix. Because it's Murderbot. But I don't know. I'm really struggling here. Just
moving on.
Yes.
Make that one of your to be read for the new year. Yeah,
moving on to new things.
Do you have a number that you hope to read?
I can't. I mean, it would be ideal to, you know, at least try to knock out a book a month, because
that's 12 books.
Yeah,
that's a nice manageable goal.
I have low goals.
Yeah, I actually believe you could do more than 12
I know.
Books,
I feel like I could, because I also try to do the book club book and whatever I'm reading. So 12 is probably bare minimum. I'm sure I can get more, but
I believe in you.
I just set my goals low. Aim high.
Aim high.
What do you have a number? I mean, you can destroy books.
Yeah,
I know,
so my number for this year was 100.
Oh.
I did that. I actually surpassed that in October.
Heyo.
So I don't know. I think I might keep it at 100 for the next year too. We'll see if I could do it 2 years in a row. We'll see.
Oh, I wish I could do that. Just can't.
I don't know. A lot of that's because I don't sleep as well as I should. So.
Oh, no, I'm.
If you can sleep, you don't have the time to read 100 books. If you're an insomniac, however.
Being an old person, I'm just like, it's 9 o'clock.
You're not.
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Exactly.
I know.
Carry that cup around.
I do. And if you, again, haven't picked up what we're laying down, I have a cup that says, for my 37th birthday, she got me a mug that says, I'm 37, I'm not old, in reference to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
A classic.
Classic. Which I hyped up, because the entire year that I was 36, I was just so excited to be like, for my birthday to come around, so I could use that line for an entire year.
And he did.
So from now until August, I will absolutely use that line anytime that I can.
And you should.
Yes.
Because it is great to be 37 and have that line to quote.
Oh, boy. 100 books.
100 books. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'll hold you to that.
But one of my goals is to read, again, more diversely.
What's a more diverse book in your, because I'm looking around your books and there's a lot of diversity, like there's all kinds of, like I'm literally looking at Barbra Streisand looking at me calling me hello gorgeous. I'm just kidding.
Hello gorgeous. So a lot of those are my husband's books.
Okay. Are you gonna read his books, or
if they look interesting?
Okay.
You know, I mean, and we do have slightly different taste. I don't know. I think I'd like to read a little bit more poetry this coming year.
Oh, well, you could knock out 100 books in a month.
Well, that's true. I'm not already going to read poetry. I think I might be allowed to read a little
bit. You could hit your goal.
You could. You could. I'm really into historical mysteries right now.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to keep going with that. And I think more sci-fi. I mean, I love sci-fi, but it's always, if it's a choice between fantasy and sci-fi, I'm usually going towards
fantasy.
So, and I do think there's a lot of sci-fi that I'd like to read.
Like
for example, go back and read
fiction.
Right, yeah. Like The Martian, for example. Mm-hmm. I read Andy Weir's newer book that came out this year, which was amazing. Loved it, The Hail Mary. But I haven't read his other books, and I would really like to go back and read them.
Yes. I did manage to procure a hardcover copy of Artemis.
You did?
At a bookstore on their like little bargain table there. Mm-hmm. They had like two left, and I was like, scoop, that's mine. Yeah. I'm hit or miss with poetry. Like I appreciate poems for what they are, and like the kind of imagery that they try to portray. It's just for some reason it's hard for me, because like I read it and I'm just like, well, what does that mean? Because you know, in my brain I'm just kind of like, no, you have to tell me what you mean. Like,
don't hint at this.
I was
just
like,
tell
I
me
can't.
Straight.
I was like, I can't.
What do you say?
I was like, I'm not smart enough for this. So I think
so
like
funny.
I mean, I can, I enjoy, obviously, you know, listen to music. That's a form of poetry. So, like, I can, I feel like that's easier for me to get because there's also a little, they tend to, you know, you know, with songs, you can kind of figure out more so than, you know, if you read a poem and it's talking about, like, scalding hot ice water, and you're like, well, what does that mean? Like,
yeah, I would love to know, like, what that means. So, like, I mean, honestly, that could be in a sci-fi horror book too.
Ice
so.
Water is melting my hands, and I'm like, that's not how
are you
that
sure
works.
You're not reading horror at that moment?
Well, like, I mean, if anything,
like,
it should
wait,
be
what
a
is going
science
on
book
here?
Because I need to learn the physics of burning
scalding hot,
of scalding ice. Hot ice water. Like, that sounds like a physics book to me.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm literally pulling things out of my behind.
No, then, honestly, like, you could be a poet with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a poem written right there.
Well, I mean, then there's the Bird Hand poet poem. Have you seen and or read Bird Hand? Because I literally just read it to you. It's the word bird up at, like, the top corner, and then the word hand at the bottom.
Okay.
The opposite bottom corner. And again, like, there's no need to, like, if you look at it on a page, it's literally just the word bird and then the word hand. That was discussed in my creative writing class, which with one of the professors that I, like, I took any of his classes I could because I love the guy. And he told us about bird hand and could not explain it to us. So I was just like, okay, this is a thing. I don't get anything out of it, but sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just listening to you with, you know, bated breath. But I think it's kind of, there's poetry and then there's poetry.
Poetry?
There's poetry and then there's poetry. And you have to say it like that, poetry.
Ew.
It's like there's fiction and there's literary fiction. It's grandiose. It's
like, oh,
I don't read
fiction.
That the gods read.
Literary fiction.
It's true. Yeah, you read literary fiction.
It's like, I don't read fantasy, I read fantasy.
See, there's a distinction. Like, poetry is like, oh, Robert Frost and T.S. Eliot and, like,
they're not
Shelley
considered poetry?
I think that's poetry, but...
Okay.
And then there's poetry, which is art, which is, like, mere mortals cannot understand this.
Like Birdhand?
Like Birdhand, yes.
Or the scalding hot ice water.
Exactly.
I'm just latching on. I'm not
like,
going to let that go.
What does that mean? That's, and like, then it starts a whole cult because everybody's like, what does this mean? And we're all just sitting here in the stunned silence like.
Yeah, that's going to be like.
This is an existential crisis.
Trademark me. This is my new thing, you know. Copyrighted, all that kind of stuff. I'm literally just going to write the words. Scalding hot ice water, and that's my poem.
It's yours. You'll make your millions.
And I will get, you know, the little medal that they get, you know.
And the rest of us will think you are genius.
Of course.
Because you know the meaning of life, and the rest
and
of us don't.
The meaning
the rest of us are reading Terry Pratchett.
Either 42 and or scalding hot ice water.
Poetry.
Poetry. So I think we have we've got a year set up for us.
We do.
We do. So I wish you luck with your 100. Because
thank you. And
I
have faith you will surpass your 12.
Oh, thank you. I feel like if I read 100 books, it'll have to be like picture books.
Some of the best books are picture books.
I mean,
just
I
saying.
Get it. Like, if you also, some of them can get pretty deep.
I'm sorry.
If you never
Mother
read Cicada.
Bruce by Higgins.
That one's
everybody
adorable, though.
Just go buy that. It's like the best book in the whole world.
And read Cicada. I wouldn't give it to your kids. I don't
oh, yeah,
remember
Cicada's
who read
great.
It or who wrote it, but Cicada's one of those, like, I was literally reading it and, you know, it's a picture book for kids. And I was like, this is getting real dark real fast. And then it has a happy ending. Of course it does. But yeah, it's not what I would have expected from a picture book. But fun times. So again, good luck with your 100. Let me know how that goes.
I
mean, not like we won't, you know, see each other, keep track. Because we still have...
We're just going
to
disappear.
We have a new season to do.
We do.
This is the end. of the new beginning. I don't know what that means. Is that
again?
A,
you're going
is
that into a, poetry. Is that a
picture? it's bird hand territory.
It is. or self-help.
Yeah.
It's like feel the new year.
Yes.
Be the new year.
Do exist the new year. In the new year. Yes. So if you have goals, what are your goals? How many? Do you have goals to just read outside of yours? Do you have a number goal? Do you have a goal to read, you know, nothing but series books? Do you have a goal to read nothing but one-offs? Like,
I am a huge believer of diverse reading, like I'd be talking about, but I do that a lot on my own. Like, I don't, I am a huge fan of the standalone. I think we need a lot more standalones out there.
I love a standalone.
I don't think every single book or book concept has to be a three book trilogy / going on to 6 books / 10.
Or 41, like Terry Pratchett.
41 by Terry Pratchett. It's a little different, though.
It's just a swirl.
I do think that you can, as a writer, deal with a concept in one book and leave us complete and satisfied.
Yes.
And I think it's good to mix standalones with series. That's what I do a lot of.
Yeah, that's what I like doing that.
So,
So if you have any goals, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm going to try and read The 100 again. It's going to be on my Goodreads page. And as I read them, I'll take them off because it's super satisfying when you're a control freak like I am.
Nice. Mine is when I actually delete the one that I just finished. I have a little notepad thing on my phone and I'll delete one and I'm like, ah. Especially if it's, you know, one that's tying up a series, because then I'm like, double ah. Yeah.
And I think one of the series that would talking about where I'm in the middle of it and I really just need to finish it off and I'm excited to is probably The Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. Yes. I have yet to read the third in that trilogy and I know there's two more after that, but I just need to read the third one.
Nice.
So,
well, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
And also, if you as the listener have lists, you know, regardless of I want to do this number or I want to do this style, or if you want to, even if you want to do, like, you know, this month is fantasy, this month is poetry, this month is history. Like, if that's your goal, do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Power
let us
to
know, because who knows? If you put it on the social media things that we have, a.k.a. Facebook and Instagram, that way other people could also see those and be like, that's a good idea. And they may start following you.
Yay. And you can become a bookstagrammer and an influencer and change the world.
Famous and stuff.
And stuff.
Famous. And
people stuff. Will send you stuff.
Yes.
For you to influence other people.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'm old. This is not my thing.
It's clearly not poetry. Anyway, on that note, Happy
Enjoy
New Year.
Happy New Year. That sounded good.